The Palsied Man Cured, Chapter 20. One day we see many people walking on the streets of Capernaum. They all go in the same direction. See them hastening onward with rapid strides. Where are these people going? Has there been an accident? Why, no. Just look. A house, with the door open, is in one of these streets, and all these people walk through the open door into this house. One after the other disappear therein, and they continue to come until finally the house is completely filled, so that no one is able to enter any more. The people stand in the hall and on the porch. Yes, they even crowd together on the street. They crane their necks and listen intently, trying to hear something of what is being said. Why have so many inhabitants of Capernaum entered this dwelling? Why are those who must stand out on the street so anxious to hear what is being said? What is going on? You already know the Lord Jesus preached during the day in the cities and villages of Galilee. But at night, he would usually return to Capernaum to lodge there. Sometimes he would remain away for a few days. Still, he would return. Now, unexpectedly, the Lord Jesus returned to Capernaum. Some people saw him and immediately told others. This news travels through the city as a spreading fire, and many get themselves ready in haste to go to him. That is why so many people are walking on the streets. That is why all have entered this house. The Lord Jesus is in this house, and he is speaking there. That is why those who could not get a place inside and therefore must remain outside are listening so intently. Oh, even there they hope to be able to hear something. Now you must not think all these people had need of the Lord Jesus. Neither must you think all this audience really believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior. Indeed not. Most of them went out of curiosity. Probably Jesus will perform another miracle, and some of them are desirous to see that. Others thought it very nice to hear him speak, for he preached so differently from the scribes. For these reasons, most of them went to him and for nothing else. Before I tell you anything else, I must tell you this first. The houses in Canaan were built differently from our houses. The roofs on our houses are mostly slanted and covered with colored shingles. However, that was not so there. The Oriental houses had flat roofs, for they could walk on top of the roof. They still have that type of houses there. Inside, too, the houses were arranged differently from ours. Usually, these houses had an open space in the center, where palms grew and gorgeous flowers gave forth their scent. This, thus, was a sort of garden, an inner court. The rooms of this building were built around this open space. The house where so many people had gone into and where the Lord Jesus is speaking is a house like that. It has an open space in the center. Come. In our thoughts, we will go inside. See Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, sitting there. His face appears serious. He speaks with a calm, clear voice. He tells the people they must be converted, and they must receive a new heart. He tells them it is necessary for them to have their sins forgiven. In a word, he brings the gospel to them. It is quiet, very quiet. Everyone listens attentively. His audience sits around him in a large circle. Many, do not have room to sit down, so they remain standing. But look, a few men clothed in long white garments and having black beards sit nearest to Jesus. Who are they? They are Pharisees. Among them are some who have made a long journey to hear him. They have walked or have ridden upon an animal for many days before they arrived at Capernaum. They are Pharisees who have come from Judea and Jerusalem. Why have they traveled to Capernaum? Are they very anxious to hear the Lord Jesus preach? Do these Pharisees also want to have their sins forgiven? Do they believe in the Lord Jesus? Why, no. On the contrary, these Pharisees hate the Lord Jesus. Do they seek forgiveness of their sins? They never give that a thought. They are of the opinion they can merit heaven. Do they believe in the Lord Jesus? Not at all. They think Jesus is a deceiver. Isn't that terrible? Just why did they travel to Capernaum? They have heard that Jesus is surrounded daily by great multitudes who listen attentively to his words. They cannot tolerate this. Therefore, an end must come to it. So they have come with the hope they can find something against the Lord Jesus. Probably Jesus will make a serious mistake. Probably he will sin against the laws of Moses. Oh, they hope so. And then they can imprison him. Yes, then they will be able to kill him. If that succeeds, they will be rid of him. See them sitting there. They listen very sharply. No love is in their eyes, and their hearts are filled with hatred. The Lord Jesus knows this. He knows these Pharisees have come purposely to trap him. If it were possible, yes, he knows everything. We do not know things like that. When your teacher stands before the class, he or she does not know what goes on in the hearts of the children as they sit before them. Seemingly, the children can be listening very attentively, while in their thoughts they are busy with something far different from what is being said. Sometimes they do not even hear what is being said. But it is not so with the Lord Jesus. He even knows our very thoughts. Therefore, he also knows that the Pharisees are sitting there with hatred and malice in their hearts. He knows that all kinds of evil, ugly thoughts are going through their minds. But he says nothing. No, he is silent about it. He acts as if he knows nothing. Oh, the Lord is so patient. He also speaks to these wicked Pharisees. He tells them, too, they can be converted. Suddenly, in the exceeding quietness which had prevailed there is broken. They hear footsteps on the flat roof above them. What can that be? All eyes look up intently. No, nothing can be seen. How annoying and disturbing this is. Because of this noise, they cannot hear so well. Oh, they would like to shout, "Be quiet a little. If you keep on, we cannot understand a thing." But it doesn't become quiet. On the contrary, the noise becomes louder. Undoubtedly, this roof was made of large flat slabs of tile. And then, just look. Suddenly, a tile is loosened and lifted from the roof. And then another, and another. A hole, an opening is made in the roof, and four men can be seen through this opening. How impudent of these men, don't you think, boys and girls? They ought to shame themselves for making so much noise. How rude! Yes, so it seems, but it isn't so. Perhaps some of the audience became angry. They look up angrily. Others are inquisitive. They think, what can that be? They hope something unusual will happen. However, there is one who knows everything. He does not become angry. Neither is he inquisitive. He knows what is going on. When the opening in the roof is large enough, it becomes somewhat quieter. But then, very carefully, the four men let something come down on strong ropes through this opening. It looks like a thick mat. The Bible says a couch, and in another place, a bed. Now, you must not think it was a bed or couch as ours are. Why, no, it was a thick mat. They securely tied a rope at each of the four corners, and with these ropes they let down the couch through the opening. The Lord Jesus is not speaking now. No one is listening anyway. He waits patiently as everyone else looks up in utmost astonishment. The bed finally rests upon the ground. It has come down exactly at the feet of the Lord Jesus. A man lies upon the bed. Who is he? What does this man want? Why did these four men upon the roof, who are now peering down inquisitively through the opening, lower this man? This man is an afflicted, unhappy person. He is paralyzed. The Bible says that he is palsied. So paralysis or palsied is the same thing. Have you ever seen a man or woman who is paralyzed? Some have a paralyzed hand. Others have a paralyzed foot. A person cannot move a paralyzed limb. Those people are crippled. But this man not only has a paralyzed hand or a paralyzed foot. No, this miserable man is completely paralyzed. Oh, isn't that terrible? You can walk and jump, play and romp, but this man cannot. This man can never walk. He must continually lay on his bed. Happily, he had a few faithful friends who sometimes would take him with bed and all and carry him outside. He could then lie in the lovely outside air enjoying the sun. This was good for him. He had need of it. Wasn't it good for him to have that? How do you act toward afflicted people? Do you tease them? If you see them on the street, do you call them names? Yes? Then you should shame yourself. That is cowardly. Yes, worse, it is ungodly. Take an example from this poor man's friends. They helped their poor friend in everything. They had compassion with him. When this paralytic lay quietly upon his bed in the open air or in his home, he could think calmly. He thought about his sickness, but also why it was that there is so much grief and misery in this world. When God created this world, and there was no grief or misery, but all these afflictions have come because of sin. That is why there are so many sick people. That is why so many children weep over the loss of their father or mother. That is why the hospitals are full of sick people. All these things are the consequences of sin. Many people murmur because of these things. They blame God for them. Do you do so too? However, this paralytic does not murmur. Neither does he blame the Lord for his ailment. Oh no. God is not the cause of his misery, but he himself is the cause of his grief. He knows he is a sinner. He knows he has angered the Lord many times and still does every day. He not only knows this with his natural mind, but the Lord has caused him to realize he is a sinner. He is grieved because of his sin. Once again, he is not angry with God, and he does not complain. On the contrary, he knows he deserves God's punishments. God is still good for him. He is still alive. He has friends who take care of him. It would be righteous if God would cast him into hell. He would often close his eyes and pray. He would beg the Lord to convert him. He would weep bitter tears, not because he was so afflicted, but because he has sinned against God, against such a beneficent God. Love to God dwelt deeply in his heart. The Lord himself worked this love in his heart. As we are by nature, we hate God and are enemies of him. One day he hears about the new prophet. Most likely his friends told him. He hears of the miracles which are performed by this great prophet. He also hears about the preaching of this prophet. People tell him, Jesus of Nazareth tells the multitude he has come to deliver his people from their sins. He hears that this prophet proclaims he is the Savior who will deliver sinners from destruction and bring them into glory. This paralytic listens very attentively to these narratives of his friends and believes them. He knows Jesus is preaching the truth. He believes Jesus is truly the Savior, the Son of God. He also believes Jesus can deliver him from his sins, that Jesus can forgive his sins. Oh, if he only could go to Jesus, could he but find where he is? But no, that is impossible, for he is paralyzed. He cannot move himself, much less walk. Daily he lies upon his bed, thinking about Jesus. His desire is to be able to meet him. His soul goes out after the Savior. And now? Now he is by Jesus. Now he lies at his feet. How did that come about? We do not know. Perhaps he asked his friends if they would take him to Jesus. But it also could be that his friends proposed to do it of their own accord. The Bible is silent concerning this. Whatever it may be, the four men lifted him with bed and all and carried him to the house where the Lord Jesus was tarrying. But when they came close to the house, then, oh, what a pity! The house is full, so full they cannot enter it. Come, people, go to the side. Let us through, they requested. But it is impossible. The house is so full, it is impossible to squeeze inside. The poor paralytic lies there, greatly disappointed. What now? Will his friends bring him back again? What? Bring him back? No, never. For a moment, these friends stand looking about, considering what they ought to do. Ah, they see something. Stone steps are built on the outside of the house. These lead up to the roof. They quickly make their decision. If they cannot take their friend to Jesus through the door, and they will do so through the roof. Carefully they carry him up the stone steps, and out of breath they come to the top. Soon they stand on the roof. They listen sharply for a moment. They are trying to hear from the sound of the Lord Jesus' voice the approximate spot where he is sitting. And then they simply break open the roof. When the opening is large enough, they let down their poor friend at the feet of the Lord Jesus, and they believe Jesus will not reject him. There he lies. They are perspiring, for this wasn't easy to do, but they have obtained their goal. So far, their trouble has been rewarded. Profound quietness reigns below. Jesus remains silent. All those who are present are silent, and the paralytic is silent too. What must he say? It could be he became shy because all these people stare at him in astonishment. Must he tell Jesus what his desire is? Why, no, that is not necessary. The Lord Jesus knows what is transpiring in his heart. This man did not come to be cured of his sickness and to again depart. No, this man came for Jesus himself. He came because he has need of the Lord Jesus as the Savior, or he came to be delivered from his sins. The Lord Jesus, with eyes full of compassion, looks at him lying upon his bed. And these words resound from the mouth of the Savior, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." This was exactly what this paralytic wanted and what he needed. A wonderful peace fills the heart of this paralytic, a peace which cannot be described, but which makes him supremely happy. Pharisees also hear this. An offended look comes upon their faces. They become angry and think, "That is impudent. That is ungodly. No one can forgive sins but God alone." This is true, boys and girls. We agree with the Pharisees. God alone is able to forgive sins. No person can do that. But the Pharisees overlook one thing, which is the Lord Jesus is God. They do not believe that. No, they will not believe it, and therefore they become angry. However, they say nothing. It is only in their thoughts. But the Lord Jesus will let them hear he knows what their thoughts are. He will show them he is all-knowing. He will prove to them he really is God's Son, the long-expected and long-promised Messiah. Suddenly, he asks these angry men, "What reason ye in your hearts? You think I may not say such a thing, don't you? You think it is not true. You think I am only saying this, and thereby deceiving this man. However, I shall prove to you I am not speaking lies." After which, the Lord Jesus again addresses himself to the paralytic, and says with authority, "I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy couch, and go unto thine house." "Yes, but how can this man do such a thing? Isn't he paralyzed?" "Of course he is. The Lord Jesus not only says this, but he also cures the man. The paralysis leaves him, and strength returns into this man's hands and feet. Oh, just look. Upon the word of the Lord Jesus, the paralytic stands upon his feet. He is cured, completely cured. God only can do such things." This man did not ask for this cure. It wasn't his purpose in the first place. But the Lord Jesus gives this to him unasked. The paralytic takes up his couch upon which he had lain so long and leaves the house. Now the people make room for him. You Pharisees, do you see that? Don't you now realize the Lord Jesus is really God? No, children, they see nothing. They do not want to see. They will not admit they are wrong. They will not believe in the Lord Jesus. They hate him more than ever before. Oh, how dreadful! Still, they can do nothing against it. They are provoked, but keep silent. The other listeners see this too. They are exceedingly amazed. We read in the Bible that they glorified God. Did they really glorify God with their hearts? Or did they do it only with their understanding? Alas, most of them did it only with their mouths. They did not mean it sincerely. Evening has come. Everyone has gone away. The Pharisees went away with a heart full of hatred and envy. The many hearers returned homeward, busily conversing with each other about what has happened. Their curiosity has been satisfied. They have seen a miracle, but nothing else. The paralytic and his friends also have gone home. Oh, this man was very happy. He too glorified God, but he did it with his whole heart. He did it in sincerity. The fact that the Lord Jesus was pleased to look upon him went beyond his understanding. He did not deserve it. No, it only was and is free sovereign grace. This story has something to say to us too. What is your aim, your purpose, boys and girls? Most likely, you at one time have been sick and probably seriously too. And then you prayed. For what did you pray? Well, you were afraid you would die, and you are afraid of death, aren't you? You asked the Lord to make you better again, to return you to health. The Lord cured you, and you did not die. Perhaps you have had a friend, a brother, or sister who did die, but you recovered. The fever left you, and you recovered. That was good. And then it was well again. Everything was all right. You went out to play. You romped and jumped and forgot all about the Lord. Isn't that true most of the time? Or are there any among you who are different? Alas, I am afraid it went so with most of you when you were cured from your diseases. No, children, it is not sufficient. It is not well. You have been cured of your ailment, but not of your sin. Your sins were not forgiven you. You had no desire for them to be forgiven. You didn't need that. Why not? Sin does not trouble you, because you lie dead in sins and transgressions. May the Lord give you sorrow because of sin. God gave this to the paralytic, and he can give it to you too. He, and he alone, can make your dead hearts alive. Children, seek the Lord in your youth. Who knows, God may be gracious to you also. May these words also resound in your hearts. My son, my daughter, thy sins be forgiven thee.